in verse 6, have a look at Proverbs 20 in verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but let's say it together, faithful man who can find. Now, the Bible's not saying that they cannot be found. The Bible is saying that it's very rare that these faithful men are found. Like the Proverb 31 woman, right? A virtuous woman who can find. And it's not saying that she cannot be found, but she is a jewel that is expensive, rare, unique. And I think that's what it is, unique, rare. And may God help us, men and women alike, to be faithful, first and foremost to God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you and thank you for your blessing upon our lives. We thank you for all that you do and all that you are. We ask and pray, dear God, the creator of heaven and earth, that you would get our attention by your grace to sit and learn in these 3 moments. Help us not to be distracted. Help us to be faithful under the word. In Jesus' name, amen. This proverb would indicate to us that the wisdom of God is talking to us to say we need faithful people. There's a shortage of faithful people. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people that would commit to something, but they don't follow through. Basically, that's what the verse is talking about. But if you thought about faithfulness, what would come to mind? What would be the meaning of being faithful? Anybody? Consistent. Okay, consistent. That's good. Being consistent. What else?
Committed.
Committed. Okay, being committed. What else?
Dependable.
Being dependable. Yes, good. It's also being true to your word. And all these things follow through. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. That means poverty. In other words, again, the wisdom of God is saying talk is cheap. Okay, and we find a schism, if you will, in a lot of marriages, don't we? This boasting on the altar, the goodness that I'll pledge my life to you, I'll promise to you, and what happens a year or 2 or 3 years down the track, you find that person gone, or still they remain in the marriage, but they're not committed like they said they would be. And you find this also in the workforce. The resume of that person has A1 characteristics. Oh man, these are the reasons why you should hire me. And then when it comes down to the crunch, you don't see these people working as hard as their resume would boast. And then you have Christians making professions, if you will, after a heavy sermon. Oh man, they're in tears and they're crying and they're going to surrender. But 2 days later, fizzles out. It's like they have to wait until they hear another sermon. Emotional fluff. God is looking for faithfulness. Committed people. That when they commit to something, their words match their life. John says that let us not be, having words, but let's have deeds, the Apostle John. Not just words, but deeds. I basically wanted to illustrate this, and I told my wife if we had any balloons left, and then James picked up of what I was going to be preaching tonight. And James, if you're going to help me out, please. And just to illustrate what it means, this verse to us, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. So you come ahead and you blow up this balloon as much as you can. This is how it looks like. If you want to kind of picture this verse, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And that's how it goes. A big noise, full of hot air, bang, and then fizzles out. Nothing. And William MacDonald said this, it is hard to find those who profess to be loyal but it is another thing to find those who are really faithful. There is a difference between what men are and what they want others to think they are. It is the difference between person and personality. May God help us have this attribute of commitment, being dependable, being faithful to all that God has given us to do. Amen. I want to share just quickly, I want to give you some areas in which God wants us to be faithful in. Number one, our God-given commitments. And I really believe this covers a lot of areas in our lives. Marriage, parenting, being committed to work and studies. Go with me to Ephesians 5 quickly. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I'm going to quickly run through these because I really want to touch on the fourth point. God wants us to be committed in our God-given commitments, in church, in our calling, and also to Christ. And I want to focus more on the last point. But let's go through these to just kind of give us a refreshment, if you will. First of all, have a look at Ephesians 5, verse 22. He begins to say, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." God wants us to be committed in the way we are in our marriages, loyal to our spouse. Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church and is the Savior of the body." And it talks about also that the husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Okay, so we see at one hand the wives ought to be faithful to submit, and on the other hand husbands ought to be faithful to love their wives. But also we see in Ephesians 6:1, we see children need to be faithful to their parents. Look at verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then we ought to be faithful to our children. Look at verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." By the way, one of the ways that we can actually provoke our children to wrath is by living an inconsistent life and our love to them, by living a life that is full of hypocrisy. And not only to our spouses and not only to our children or to our parents, but also now notice to work and study. Have a look at verse 5. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as man pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." By the way, you live by this principle, it will help you be faithful. That everything that you do it as unto the Lord. Because I tell you, many times your work, your commitment will be overlooked. People perhaps won't notice. It doesn't matter. Because the Lord is looking and the Lord is watching. And by the way, you'll do a better job when you do it to the Lord. And it will be consistent because the Lord is always watching. He's always watching. He doesn't miss anything. And so let your service, your God-given commitments be unto the Lord. Else you're going to limit yourself. But then our faithfulness to the church. Number one, the church ordinances that God has given us. Our ministry to be under the word of God, the apostles' doctrine. You know, we see that in Acts chapter 2. They were committed. They were steadfast, if you will. They continued steadfastly under the word of God in the apostles' doctrine, but also in fellowship around the gospel, breaking of bread. They took time out to remember the Lord and in prayers, intercession for others, but not only in the churches, in ordinances, but also your ministries. Your ministries. One of our greatest ministry that we can have is one to another. In Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but what? But exhorting one another." This is building one another up. This is one of the greatest ministries that we can have in the local church, to minister one to another. That's why we're here tonight. Yes, we're here to pray for others, but we're also here to encourage one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's important to be in the house of God. It's not legalistic or legalism. As a unique fellowship that God has brought us together, we ought to be faithful to that. Also, your companions in the church, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Ephesians 4 talks about, "Wherefore, putting away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another, talking about the members of God's family. And be not angry, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You know, love prevails. And I really believe that if you hold grudges and you don't forgive, you're not loving the family of God. Especially if you forgive someone but you hold that grudge in your heart, you're still not loving them. You've got to learn to give it up. Don't give place to the devil. By the way, life is too short to hold grudges. And it's a bitter pill. You just ruin yourself. And you defile yourself and you defile others. Learn to forgive others even if they don't come to you for repentance. Because when you do that, the door's wide open. And it won't be hard or difficult for you to forgive once that person comes to you. But learn to love it. It's, by the way, it's not compromise. It's not compromising. It's having the heart of God. Okay, as long as we do things in all truth. We don't want to be, sentmental in our marriage. Say, oh, it's okay. No, as long as that person knows that things need to be sorted out and we need to work it out. But have a forgiving heart. Because if you don't have a forgiving heart, you won't be faithful to work anything out. You've lost already. And so if that heart is ready to forgive, ready to reconcile, being faithful to your companions in the church. Faithful to your calling. We ought to be faithful to our calling. God's called you to preach. Don't compromise his word. God doesn't need preachers in our day to day to compromise his word. You're better off just sitting down and shutting up. Amen. And we ought to have preachers that have love in their heart, but love is telling the truth. And it's hard to tell the truth. And so, but if you have an ounce of compromise, you say, Lord, I don't want to compromise. I'm not one trying to please people, and although we ought to respect everyone, but first and foremost, we must please God. Amen. And as preachers, I don't know about you, but sometimes I say, Lord, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to be faithful mouthpiece for you. So please let me not be a stumbling block to the people of God. Let me be a stepping stone, but a stepping stone that is truthful and not compromising. And a stumbling block, I know that, is when I get in the flesh. And I'm not preaching in the power of the Spirit of God. And by the way, preachers, let me just say that we cannot afford to preach in the flesh. Even if we're preaching truth. We must be flaming men of God, preaching the Word of God. We can't afford to go in the flesh with God's Word. Be faithful to walk with God in the Spirit of God. And Bible students, be faithful with your studies. Be faithful with your studies, with your reading, with your... be committed as God called you to it. This is your calling. Be committed. And by the way, if some of you say, oh, you know, by the end of the year, I don't want to continue on because I don't really believe God has called me to it, that's fine. Don't stay in for saving face. Amen. That will ruin you. But if God's called you, then go all the way. Amen. And then we see also our spiritual gifts. God has gifted people. He's called them with gifts. Romans chapter 12 illustrates those gifts. And the Bible says also not to be slothful in business and serving, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Wherewith ye are called. Be faithful to your calling and to the ministry in which God has placed you in, the vocation which God has put you in. Don't play out of your role. You do what God's called you to do and gifted you to do. You say, how do I know what God's gift for me is? Walk in the Spirit and God will show you. Amen. He'll use you. And in time, as you walk with God long enough, you look back and you think, oh, this is how God is using me. This is God, how he's enabling me. This is how he's helping me be a blessing to other people. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You get one crack on it, one crack at it. In your marriage, in your commitments, in the church, in your calling, you get one shot at it. And you want to be the best husband that you can be. You want to be the best wife that you can be. For him, for his glory, if anything else, at least for his glory, to be faithful to him. And this is where I want to just say to you, because if you're unfaithful, the Bible says that you're not dependable. The Bible is very clear talking about confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Have you ever had a broken tooth or a tooth that needed pulling out? Because it just brought pain to you. You can't eat or drink or you can't even breathe because even that breath causes a pain that is unbearable. Well, that's what he's saying. Unfaithful man is just unbearable in that marriage. Unbearable. Instead of being a help, they're a hindrance. They're unbearable in the church. Instead of being a stepping stone, they're a stumbling block. Because they're not committed. And it also talks about not only a broken tooth, but a foot out of joint. Have you ever tried to walk on a dislocated foot or a knee? Gives way, doesn't it? It's not dependable. And you want to look at something. Look, listen, you want people to look at you and say, you know what? I don't have to worry about that person. I know that their integrity, they're going to do it hands down. And if it doesn't happen, something must have taken place. And by the way, this does not mean in any way, let's not get it out of context here for a moment. Let's look at this message within the context of our being. We are still fallible. We still fall. Amen. We still are being perfected. But a faithful man knows that. And a faithful woman knows that. They know that if they fall, they need to dust themselves off by the grace of God and pick themselves up again and say, you know what, I'm so sorry I failed in this area, sweetheart. I want to do better. I want God to help me do better. Amen. That's a faithful person. That's a faithful person. They're faithful. Even in their realization that they're not perfect. What are they? They want to be perfected by the inspired word of God. Yes. To become all that God wants them to be useful in their God-given commitments. And that's what the Word of God's for. To thoroughly furnish and perfect, mature the man of God unto every good work. And so let me just say this. Another instance that we can use this balloon. Like an unfaithful person. They're faithful. And you see him committed, but it doesn't last long. They get on with it, but before you know it, they're back down and they're down for a long period of time. They're not up again. By the way, that's the key. A just man falleth how many times? But how many he gets up again? So that's the only way we learn, by the way. And we learn by the grace of God, and it's the grace of God that picks us up again and says, come on, son. Get up and go. But you know, some Christians, they get up for a while and they stay down for a while. Can't do that. Can't do that. We need to be up here. And we need to continue to press forward. If we fall down, get back up again. Get up. Stop being in self-pity. Go! And stop being too proud. God will forgive you. Believe God will forgive you. It's not the end of the world if you failed. God will forgive you. You know, why is it we kind of be, you know, this is what David's prayer was. Lord, he wanted forgiveness because he was stricken with guilt. He was stricken with guilt. And you know what keeps us down? Guilt. Not to keep us down. We look at the holiness of God as king attribute. We know God is holy. But listen, you know what's on par with God's holiness? His love. They're inseparable. You cannot separate the two. And sometimes, Christian, we just look at God's holiness, and we ought to, but we forget about God's love. And I'm telling you, that's like an insult to him. Because the definition of love is God. Look it up. I think God has been doing this wonderful study on God and his attributes is natural and moral. It's helped me to no end. We need to be faithful, lastly, to Christ. And I want to labor a little bit more here with the time that I have. I've got about 8 minutes. And two things in our fellowship and fellowship. The fellowship, you've got to have a little dash there. There's no English word for fellowship, but I've just made one up. Amen. Fellowship. This is the way we obey God. How we obey, how we follow the Lord is very important. Obedience means to be faithful, to do it, listen, God's way, not just to do it, but to do it God's way. There was a man named King Saul, and you're familiar with him. He did a lot of things that God wanted him to do, but he did it in his own time, and he did it his own way. Listen, and he failed. Have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 10 quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10, look at verse 8. We see the instruction given by Samuel. By the way, Samuel is a prophet that has been sent by God. He's a sent one, if you will. He's like God's mouthpiece. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings. I will come down unto thee. Notice these things. And the sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days thou shalt tarry till I come. Don't miss that, King Saul. And show thee what thou shalt do. Okay? So not only he's waiting for now Samuel to come, but he's also waiting for him to come and give him his next orders from God. Notice chapter 13, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring it a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of these offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? Can you imagine that? Saul, hey, Samuel, what did you do? None of this, oh, hey, no. What did you do? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that they camest not within the days appointed. Oh, yeah, sounds good. And that the Philistine gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal. And I had not made supplication unto the Lord. And then look, notice what he says here. I forced myself therefore. You know what he meant? What does he mean by that? In other words, you're saying, hey, listen, I had no choice. I had no choice. No, you did have a choice.
That's right.
You did have a choice. And offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon forever, Israel forever. For now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be the captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You know what God's looking for? God is looking for someone that's after his heart. And that will follow him and do it his way. Amen. That's faithfulness.
Amen.
You know, God's timing plays a big part in being faithful to the Lord. And that's something that we struggle with. We struggle with learning to wait on God. You know, God doesn't want us to go ahead of him. Let me just say this. It's not spiritual going ahead of God. It's not spiritual at all. Waiting on the Lord is trusting God and being faithful to him. Waiting on the Lord proves, by the way, that you have a heart after God's own heart. And you just want to do it his way. By the way, he had no right to offer that sacrifice. He wasn't part of the Levites. He was part of the Benjamites. And he was not in the priestly office. His hands weren't even supposed to be there. But he thought it too. Oh, this is a good idea. This is something that I could do. And No. God's way. Done in God's time. We ought to be faithful to that.
Yes.
And then fellowship. Not only fellowship, but fellowship. We need to be faithful in our fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of these things, and you just listen to me for the sake of time. and this way we can get through it. But let me just say this to you. When you look at the life of the Church of Ephesus, they did a lot of things that were approved by God. God gave them credit for it. And you would say, well, isn't that commitment? That they set out to do everything that God wanted them to do and they did it His way? Absolutely. But there was one thing lacking: their walk with God. And this is the thing, we can do everything that's required of us and we can do it to the T. But if our walk with God is lacking, then God has something against us. And I'll even take it to this level. He even gives them credit, and you can look it up, and it makes note that they did it for His name's sake. So in other words, it's almost like saying, they had good intentions. They did it for His name's sake. And they were patient. And they has not fainted. What's that mean? They were committed. Yeah. It's almost like God was saying, their motive is good. They're doing it for me. But one thing that they lack is they have forgotten their first love. And listen, we can do everything for the glory of God and we can do it right. And we can learn to do it right. But listen to me. If we haven't mastered this, if we haven't mastered to spend quality time with God, then we've failed. And we become unfaithful. And our boasting, oh, I love you, God. Really? Show me. And sometimes we think our service will make up for the time lack thereof in spending time with Him. Can I just say this? If you wake up during the night for half an hour even and just sit there and praise Him and talk to Him and love Him, listen, God will almost give you grace like for 5 hours, like as if you've slept for 5 hours more. I guarantee you, because the grace of God is what God wants us to rest in. And if we're not fellowshipping with Him, then there's no grace upon us. And therefore, we're doing that which is expected of us. And no more. You know, the church at Corinth, the church at Macedonia, you know why they prevailed in their faithfulness? Have a look. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Have a look quickly. It says, moreover, brethren, look at verse 1. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first, look at how... but they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You say, what's the difference between them and the church of Ephesus? Get it, here it is, verse 3. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, they did that which was beyond their ability to do. And listen, even beyond the expectations of the apostles. Notice verse 5, not as we hoped. They went beyond the expected. Now, I know the context of here is giving, but this was their God-given responsibility at the time. And Paul was using these churches as an example so they can stir up the church at Corinth and say, do more than what's expected of you. And just do the expected. Now, how can this take place? How do we do that beyond our ability? And by the way, I'm telling you, I stand here, I haven't mastered that, but I say, dear God, I want to do that which is out of my capacity and impossible for me to do as a man. How? Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed, given. The grace of God, and we can say the power of God upon their lives, not just what me, man, can do. And you can't get that grace if you're not spending time with the God of grace. You can't. that grace that God gives for us to live the Sermon on the Mount. That's what it requires. The Sermon on the Mount, as some would call part of it, extra mile Christianity. Jesus teaches to go beyond the expected. The grace of God to love our wives as Christ loved the church. How do you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? It's impossible. But God's grace can give you that. God's grace can give you that. Absolutely. God's grace can cause the wife to say, and you may not never hear it, but she probably feels it in her life and in her heart, saying, "He treats me better than I deserve," because that's how God treats us. It's not tit for tat, if you know what I'm saying. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. No. I do this if you will do this. No, that's not God's grace. Look at verse 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. What's he talking about here? Church, we need to live in such a way that all that we do, giving, that's part of what he's talking about, by God's grace. In any capacity that God has called us to give ourselves, the way they've done it is they've gave themselves to the Lord and then to the ministry. They had God's grace upon their lives to do more than they expected in any capacity. Whether it's your God-given commitments, whether it's in church, whether it's in your calling, or whether it's in your walk with Christ, you say, "God, look, if this would be your prayer," you say, "God, I'm lacking in my love for you. Would you give me grace to wake up to spend time with you?" And I guarantee you, he'll probably give you insomnia. And you'll thank God for it. Yeah, he will. So what am I doing? This is not just hot air from Charlie. This is, picture it as God's grace. God's sufficient grace. Sustaining grace. God. Grace. To be able to do that which you boast about doing. Amen. Yeah, who doesn't want to love the Lord? Lord, I want to love you.
Amen.
But I'm being unfaithful to that. I want to put legs, Lord, to my speech, and I want to walk loving you.
Amen.
We sing about it, right? May God give us the grace to live about what we sing. Let's pray.